بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 19th session. Reading from the sharh or explanation of العقيدة الواسطية by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, with the commentary of al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahumullah. May Allah have mercy upon both of them. Before we look at the topic that we're going to be covering tonight, which is continuation of the chapter that we started last week, before we look at that, we want to go over some of the points that we covered in last week's session from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 18. If you receive the study guide, then there should be questions on both sides. On one side is the questionnaire study guide from last week's lecture number 18. That's what we're going to review right now. And on the other side are the questions for tonight's class that we will review next week. So as far as the issues that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 18, the first question is, mention the main topic under discussion here, based upon the title of this chapter. The main topic under discussion in this chapter, based upon the title of this chapter. Fadl.
Allah being above the throne, the affirmation of Allah's highness.
Okay, Allah being above the throne, affirmation of Allah's highness. That's part of the topic, but there should be something else here, more clarification, more specific. Dawood or Abu Dawood? Huh?
Abu Dawood.
Abu Dawood.
Allah is above his arsh and close at the same time through his knowledge.
Okay, Allah is above his arsh and close to the creation at the same time through his knowledge. Okay, there's one fine point here that's really, really critical. That's Ahmed, right? Ahmed. And this is Ahmed and this is Adam. Allahu Akbar. At least I know three people's names. Now. Huh? Ithbatat Kalam. Okay, also, the title, what exactly was the title of this chapter? Okay, there's a fine point that hasn't been mentioned here. Very fine point. Very important point, which is the core of our discussion last week. Now, help me.
Pierre.
Allahu Akbar.
That Allah's, him being elevated above the throne does not negate him being with the creation.
Hayy. Allah being above the throne, the affirmation of Allah being above the throne does not negate, does not contradict him being near or with the creation. The point is, right? Yes, affirmation of Allah being above the throne and affirmation of Allah being near and close and with the creation. But the point is what? There's no contradiction between the two. It doesn't negate, it doesn't nullify. Allah being above the throne doesn't nullify, doesn't negate, is not in contradiction to him being with the creation or near to the creation. Okay, so that was really the core of the topic last week, and also mentioned in that topic in one of the hadith from last week was also the affirmation of the ru'ya, yani of Allah being seen on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The second question mentioned the wording, the shahid, the point from the first hadith of this chapter which supports the main topic under discussion. And the first hadith is a long hadith. What is the point in the hadith that supports the topic of this chapter? What is the shahid, the main point in this hadith? Now,
you are the Most High, so there is nothing above you. You are out of the Dan, aware of the subtle secrets, and so there is nothing closer to you.
Okay. I didn't mention it last week, but I just want to adjust the translation of the name Al-Batin. That what is intended here, as the Prophet ﷺ explained, it means that he is nearest, the nearest, and there's no one nearer to you. And there are different ways that we can explain this name, but what is intended here is that Allah is a Vahir. He is the Most High, and there's nothing above him. And at the same time, there's no contradiction between him being the most near, and there's nothing nearer than him. There's no contradiction between the two. That's the shahid in this hadith, although there are a lot of other points of importance. Number three, mention the wording, Yani the shahid in the second hadith of this chapter, which supports the main topic under discussion. What is the point, the reference in this hadith? Amir. I didn't hear what you said in the beginning.
In English, yeah. It is, you are calling upon the all-hear, the all-seer.
Okay, you are calling upon one who is all-hearing, all-seeing?
And the one who is near.
And in the narration of Imam Muslim, there's also words that support this meaning, which is what? In the narration of Imam Muslim, that's not in Bukhari. Anybody remember what was in the last line of the hadith is from the narration of Muslim? Naam, Ahmed.
He is nearer to you than your riding kin?
He is nearer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one you're calling on, is nearer to you than the neck of your riding animal, which is directly, and he is absolutely close to you. Naam. Question number four. Is it number four? Naam. Mention the wording of the shahid in the third and final hadith, which is the reason for the mention of this hadith. Yani, why did Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mention this hadith? What is it in this hadith, which is the reason why he mentioned it? Naam. Abu Dawood. Yani, the affirmation of the fact that you will see your Lord. You will see your Lord without any difficulty. In the same way that you see this moon when the moon is full in the middle of the month, or in the other narration, the sun on a clear day when there are no clouds between it. Now,
okay, what does
this hadith have to do with the chapter? That should have been last week's question. Almost done. But in any case, in brief, yani, this was the last hadith, is the 14th hadith of a number of hadith that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned for the purpose of what?
Dalil.
All of those hadith were for the purpose of what?
Dalil.
Huh?
Dalil.
Dalil of what? For what they contain of the sifat of Allah. So this hadith contains a sifa of the sifat of Allah. All of these hadith, even though the main topic of this chapter was dealing with the ulu of Allah and the nearness of Allah not being contradictory, but all of those hadith in the last few chapters are dealing with different sifat of Allah. And so this is one of the sifat of Allah. So what it has to do with the main, it has to do with the whole series of chapters where Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is mentioning a hadith which contains sifat of Allah. And this is one of the sifat of Allah. It's clear? It's a good question. It just should have came last week. Labas. Okay, let's move on to the question number five. Question number five. Mention two of the five fundamentals of which Ahl-Sunnah are in the middle between two extreme deviations. The Ahl-Sunnah are in the middle. He mentioned five fundamentals. Mention two of them. And some of them are clearer than others. So any two that we mention is fine. Okay, we're going to start with over here, Pierre. Allah's attributes. Okay, so, yani, from the five fundamentals, yani, that the Ahl-Sunnah are in the middle, moderate, in between the two extremes, on reference to what?
The attributes of Allah.
Yani, tayyib, in reference to the attributes of Allah. Meaning that there are two extremes of the people who affirmed and the people who negated. And the Ahl-Sunnah, yani, are in the middle between them. And they're not going to either extreme. Ahmed, yes.
In terms of Allah's...
And we're going to talk about that tonight in detail, inshallah.
In terms of Allah's threats.
In terms of Allah's threats. The wa'id of Allah. The people went to the extreme, yani, saying that if Allah threatened with punishment, he must punish. And there's no other way out. And other people went to the other extreme, that there's no punishment for the believers. Yani, threats of punishment were for the disbelievers. And the Ahl-Sunnah are in the middle between them. And we're going to talk about that tonight in detail. Now, you want to mention another one? Allah's actions. Okay, Allah's actions. Jayyid. And what do we mean by Allah's actions?
Qadr.
The Qadr. Okay, we're going to talk about that again tonight in detail. So let's suffice with that. We're going to talk about those five principles tonight. The point of that question last week was because Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentioned it in the text that we read last week. Just want to make sure that we're paying attention to the text, even though we didn't discuss any explanation of that part of what he said. Question number six, mention three sifat of Allah mentioned by the Sharih, by the explainer of the text, which are contained in the first hadith. Three of the sifat of Allah that are contained in the first hadith. Three of them. Tayyib, Abdul Wali. Al-Ulu, that Allah is Allah's highness. Naam, another one. Naam, Pia. That Allah is the one who sends down the revelation. He is the one who sent down the revelations. I didn't say your name in so long, you got me. Mahmood. Mahmood, mashallah. Naam.
He is the first, there is nothing before him, and he is the last, there is nothing after him.
Okay, that part of the hadith where he is the first and there is nothing before him, he is the last, there is nothing after him, he is the most high, nothing higher than him, he is the most near, nothing nearer than him. And these are some of the many things that are mentioned. One other point that of the sifat of Allah mentioned is very important at the beginning of the hadith. Okay, it doesn't matter, whichever one you have.
I was going to say everything comes down from Allah.
Everything comes down from Allah. That's in reference to him being the, somebody said that he's the one who sends down the revelation. Okay, the hadith began by mentioning what about Allah? Huh? The beginning of the hadith. Now, Rabb, Rububiyyah. Allah is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth, and the Rabb of, he's our Rabb, and he's the Rabb of everything. Yani Rububiyyah. Now, okay, the last question. Which ayat of the Quran supports the meaning of the second hadith that Allah is near to those who call upon Him? Which ayat of the Quran supports this meaning? Naam. Surah Hud, ayat 61. Yani the Shaykh mentioned the ayat in support of this particular hadith. The ayat that the Shaykh mentioned, anybody remember the ayat that the Shaykh mentioned? Naam. Surah Al-Baqarah, Naam. Naam. That Allah says to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if my servants ask you about me, I am near. I answer the call of the one who calls upon me. So this was the ayat that the Shaykh mentioned. Sure, there are other ayats in the Quran, but we're kind of trying to, I always try as much as possible to stick to the text. Even if we bring some other notes, we try as much as possible to make the questions sticking to the text so that you have the answers in front of you. If you didn't catch it during the class, then you can go back and review it, inshallah. Okay, tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be reading from in the English from page 132 until page 137. And it's somewhere in the middle of the page 132, wherever we left off last week, I'm not exactly sure, but I think I know where. But I'll just go up a little bit just to make sure. And in Arabic, we're going to be reading from page 70. Second paragraph, and Arabic is going to be reading from page 70 to 73. So just to put things in focus, last week we read the final three hadith that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentions concerning a hadith which are authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which contains sifat of Allah that are obligatory upon us to affirm and to accept them just as they came, without denying them, without distorting their meanings, without explaining how or giving yani any examples. Last week we mentioned three hadith, which are the final three hadith of the 14 hadith mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah for the purpose of giving a sample of those authentic hadith which contain sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we read from the explanation last week is an explanation, a brief explanation of those hadith. And today, inshallah, we want to go into what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned after. At the end of the mention of those hadith, he mentioned that the Ahli Sunnah are in the middle, moderate, balanced position between two deviant extremes on five fundamental principles that are very important in Islam. And he mentioned those five fundamental principles, and he's showing us the excellence of Ahli Sunnah as they are balanced in the middle, in the moderate position between the extremes that people who identify themselves as Muslims went to in these five important fundamentals. He mentioned five fundamentals, and tonight, inshallah, we're going to look at the Shaykh's explanation of those five fundamentals and also yani, a brief yani, explanation of each of those fundamentals, if possible. I hope, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, from Shaykh Salih al-Usaymi, hafidhullah, as he has summarized each of those 5 points, those five principles, and what are the extremes and the middle course of the Ahl Sunnah in just a few words. So we're going to read the explanation here, and then we're going to go to that as well, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, so let's begin. I'm going to read up a little bit from near the top of page 70, just in case, just to make sure that we covered that part, and then we'll go to the part where I think we should be starting from, just to play it safe. I didn't go back and listen to the recording. So near the top of the page, yani the third line, the Shari', that is Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah, says فَالْوَاجِبْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ أَنْ يُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ يَعْلَمُ أَحْوَالِ عِبَادِهِ وَيَسْمَعُ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ وَيَعْلَمُ دُعَاءَهُمْ وَلَا تَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ خَافِيَةٌ جَلَّ وَعَلَى مَعَ كَوْنِهِ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ فَوْقَ جَمِيعِ الْخَلْقِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. فَهَذَا عَقِيدَةُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ خِلَافًا لِعَقِيدَةِ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ. I think I read this last week, but I'm not certainly sure. But in any case, I didn't, so I should have read it last week. But that's the closing point of what he is saying concerning the sifat of Allah. It is obligatory upon the believer to believe in Allah, and that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Sami'un Qareeb. And that He is the one who hears everything, and He is near. And He knows the conditions, situations, and circumstances of His worshippers. Yani everything about them. وَيَسْمَعُ أَسْوَاتُهُمْ. And He hears their voices. And He knows, yani, their dua, what they are asking Him for. And no secret thing is hidden from Him. In spite of the fact that He is above the arsh. In spite of the fact that He is above the arsh. He hears their voices, He knows their dua, no secret is hidden from Him. He knows everything about their situations and circumstances. In spite of the fact that He is above the arsh, that He is above the, all of the creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as opposed to the aqidah of the people of innovation. So that is related to the point that we discussed last week, that there is no contradiction between Allah being above the throne and Him being near to the creation. Then the Imam, he says, فَعَقِيدَةُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ عَقِيدَةٌ مُسْتَقِيمَةٌ. And by the way, I was reading the translation of this part of the chapter a little bit more carefully last week than I normally read. I mean, this week I was reading it kind of carefully, and I found several aspects of the translation that are definitely need to be clarified, that need clarification. Okay, so I'm going to try to stop on some of those points and mention them. And hopefully you can make a note in your book if you're reading from English. So the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is an aqidah that is upright. وَسَطٌ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ وَغَيْرِهِ. It is in the middle concerning this topic, and is the topic that we have been discussing concerning the ithbat of the sifat of Allah in this topic, and in other areas. It is in the middle. It is moderate. It is the balanced position on this topic and other topics. فَهُمْ وَسَطٌ فِي بَابٍ. And here he mentions, here the Shaykh is mentioning, he's going to go mention those five principles with a little bit discussion of each of them. We'll take them one by one. فَهُمْ وَسَطٌ فِي بَابٍ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ كَمَا أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ هِيَ وَسَطٌ بَيْنَ الْأُمَمِ. So the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are in the middle, are taking the moderate course in terms of, as it relates to, having iman in Allah. Just as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the middle between the other nations, like between the Christians and Jews, Christians worshipping Jesus and the Jews rejecting Him, and the Muslims are in the middle, taking the moderate course. And some of the scholars mentioned some of the main points concerning the middle course of the Ummah of Muhammad between the other nations. So he said the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in the middle, just as this Ummah is in the middle between the other nations. فأهل السنة وسط في هذا الباب يثبتون صفات الله وأسماءه. They are in the middle in this matter of iman in Allah. They affirm the sifat of Allah and the names of Allah. They affirm them. Without tahrif, without distorting their meanings. وَلَا تَعْتِيل, without negating or denying their meanings. وَلَا تَكْيِيف, without attempting to explain how are these sifat of Allah. What is the reality of them, which is known only to Allah. وَلَا تَمْثِيل, without making examples or comparisons between the sifat of Allah and the sifat of the created beings. يَعْنِي يَمُرُّونَهَا كَمَا جَاتْ. They accept the sifat of Allah just as they came. And here there's an omission from the translation. Very important wording that's left out from the translation. I think in the translation, after it says, yani that they just accept them the sifat just as they came. It says, yani they don't make examples of the sifat of Allah with the sifat of the created beings, كَمَا تَفْعَلُوا الْجَهْمِيَ وَالْمُعْتَزِلَةِ. And they don't make examples, tamthil, from the sifat of Allah with the sifat of the creation, as is done by the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila. What it should say is, لَا يُحَرِّفُونَهَا. They don't distort their meanings. وَلَا يُعَقِّلُونَهَا. And they don't deny their meanings. وَلَا يُمَثِّلُونَ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ بِصِفَاتِ خَلْقِهِ. And they don't make examples of the sifat of Allah with the sifat of the created beings, as was done by the Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila. So that's very important, because the Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila didn't make examples, but they distorted the meanings and negated the meanings. And that part of the translation was left out. That's on page 132, near the bottom of the page. Those words are left out. They don't, yani the Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, accept the sifat of Allah just as they came. They don't distort their meanings, and they don't deny their meanings. And they don't make examples of the sifat of Allah with the sifat of the created beings, as was done by the Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila. بَلْهُمْ يُثْبِتُونَهَا إِثْبَاتًا بَرِيًا مِنَ التَّمْثِيلِ وَيُنَزِّلُونَ اللَّهَ عَنْ مُشَابَهَةِ خَلْقِهِ تَنْزِيهًا بَرِيًا مِنَ التَّعْتِيلِ. So they affirm, yani the Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah affirm the sifat of Allah, an affirmation that is free of making examples. They affirm without making examples between the sifat, with the sifat of the created beings. And they declare Allah to be free from any comparison to the created beings. Yani declaring Allah to be free without denying the meanings. Without denying the meanings.
Excuse me, sorry. Whoever park at right aid, they start throwing cars at right aid. Whoever park there.
Jazakallah khair. Okay, so they what? Affirm Allah's sifat without making tamthil, without making examples. And they declare Allah to be free from any comparison with the created beings without denying yani what Allah has affirmed for himself. So he said that فَالْإِثْبَاتُ لَا يَحْتَاجْ إِلَى التَّمْثِيلِ وَالتَّنْزِيهِ لَا يَحْتَاج إِلَى التَّعْتِيلِ. So affirming the sifat of Allah doesn't require that you have to make examples or comparisons with Allah, because there's nothing like Him. And likewise, negating from Allah any comparison to the created beings doesn't require nullifying what He has affirmed for Himself or rejecting it. بَلْ يَكُونُونَ نُثْبِتُ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ وَأَسْمَاهُ عَلَى وَجْهِ اللَّائِكْ بِجَلَالِ اللَّهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَحْرِيفٍ لَهَا وَلَا تَعْتِيلٍ لَهَا وَمِنْ غَيْرِ تَكْيِيفٍ لَهَا وَلَا تَمْثِيلٍ. Yani so, the Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah say, we affirm the sifat of Allah and His names in a manner that is becoming, that is befitting of the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way that's befitting of Allah's majesty and His greatness and His glory, without distorting their meanings and without emptying them or denying their meanings, and without trying to explain how they are in reality, and without making examples or comparisons between Allah's sifat and the sifat of the created beings. فَهُمْ وَسَطٌ فِي بَارِ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ بين أهل التعتيل الجهمية وأهل التمثيل المشبهة. So they are in the middle, the moderate position, the balanced position in this subject of the sifat of Allah. They are in the middle between the people of ta'atil who negated or denied the meanings of Allah's sifat, the jahmiyah, and between the tamthil, yani the making examples of the mushabbiha, those who compared Allah to the created beings. And then he says, فالجهمية يعتلون صفات الله وأسماءه والمشبهة يثبتونها ويقولون يد كيدي وصوت كصوتي وقدم كقدمي يمثلون. يعني the Jahmiyyah deny the sifat of Allah and His names. Deny His sifat, all of them, and His names as well. All of them, the Jahmiyyah. And the Mushabbiha, those who make comparisons between Allah and the created beings, affirm His sifat, but they go to the extreme in affirmation, and they say that it is a hand like my hand, and a voice like my voice, and a foot like my foot. So they make examples, they make comparisons between the sifat of Allah and the sifat of the created beings. وَهَذَا مُنْكَرٌ عَظِيمٌ وَكُفْرٌ وَضَلَالٌ. And this is a tremendous evil. Doing this is a tremendous evil. And it is disbelief, and it is misguidance. That's the first principle, and I think this principle is pretty clear, that most of the book we have studied so much is about this principle, so it doesn't require any further discussion. The second principle does require some discussion. The Sheikh Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah says on the bottom of page 70, next to the last line, فَهُمْ وَسَطٌ بَيْنَ أَهْلِ التَّعْتِيلِ الْجَهْمِيَةِ وَبَيْنَ أَهْلِ التَّمْثِيلِ وَالْمُشَبِّعِ. Okay, that's the end of what he said concerning the first principle. Ahl al-Sunnah are in the middle course between. They're in the middle between the people of Ta'atil, the Jahmiyyah, who negated Allah's names and His sifat, and between the Ahlu al-Tamthil al-Mushabbiha, and the people who made examples and comparisons between Allah and the created beings. Now he goes to the second principle, and the second principle is that they are wasat fi bab af'alillah. I'm going to take a look at what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said concerning the second principle. Just yani for the sake of clarity, he says, وَهُمْ وَسَطٌ فِي بَابْ أَفْعَالِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بَيْنَ الْقَدَرِيَّ وَالْجَبْرِيَّ. بَيْنَ الْقَدَرِيَّ وَالْجَبْرِيَّ. Yani the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah in the middle course, in the subject of أَفْعَالِ اللَّهِ, the actions of Allah the Most High, between the group, the قَدَرِيَّ, and the group that's known as the جَبْرِيَّ. That's what he said. So here, I don't know what is the cause, but in any case, here, yani the Shaykh says, in the bab of af'alillah, bayna al-wa'idiyah. Bayna al-wa'idiyah wal-qadariyah. And actually, what it should be is bayna al-jabriyah and the qadariyah. Not between the wa'idiyah. So, you can, and if you're reading in Arabic, it should be, or even in English. Yani it shouldn't be between the wa'idiyah and qadariyah. It should be between the jibriyah and the qadariyah. And then the Shaykh begins to discuss what appears to be a continuation of the first principle, yani ithbat of the sifat and the asma of Allah. He begins to discuss what appears to be a continuation of the first principle, not the difference between the extremes and the people in reference to yani the Jibriyah and Qadariyah. So I'm just going to read it because it's there, and then we're going to look at actually what should have been the explanation there. So he says, between the yani, it should be yani it should be Jibriyah and the Qadariyah. He says, the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah affirm the actions of Allah and that they are true, they are real. So He, Allah Jalla wa Ala, descends, and he's talking about some of the sifat of Allah that they affirm. He descends to the Sama'ad Dunya Kullu Layla, yani to the heaven above this world every night. And he will appear before his worshippers on Yawm Qiyamah, such that they will see his noble face, just as they see the sun on a clear day when there are no clouds between it and their seeing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is pleased sometimes, and he becomes angry sometimes, and he commands and he prohibits, and he creates and he provides. These are examples of what af'alillah. Yani fa'af'aluhu thabitatun lahu subhanahu wa ta'ala khilafan lil-jahmiyyah al-mu'attila wa khilafan lil-mu'tazila alladhina yaquluna بإثبات أسماء الله من دون الصفات يعني أسماء مجردة ليس لها معنى. So after mentioning some examples of the af'al of Allah that the Ahl al-Sunnah affirm, he says, so the actions of Allah are affirmed, they are established, as opposed to يعني what? يعني the rejection and denial of the Jahmiyyah, who deny Allah's sifat, and as opposed to the Mu'tazila, who say, yani whose opinion is that they affirm the asma of Allah, but without the sifat, yani not the sifat of Allah, meaning they affirm the names of Allah as names, without having any meaning. Yani Allah is al-alim without affirming ilm. Allah is al-qawi without affirming that he is yani strong, quwwa. So this is the deviation of those people, and that's how he explained this point. What I want to say here is, the second point actually is what? It's the Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah are in the middle between, in the af'al of Allah, yani between the Qadariyah and Jabriyah. Sheikh Salih Al-Usaymi says, the meaning here is, the second principle is Al-Qadr. Yani what we are really talking about here, af'alillah means the Qadr of Allah. The Qadr of Allah. The Divine Decree. Al-Mushir ilayhi biqawl al-Musannaf bab af'alillah. Yani when the Musannaf, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, af'alillah, he means the divine decree. The divine decree that Yani some people went to the extreme and said the human beings don't have any actions. It's just Allah's actions. They are just compelled to do whatever they do. And other people went to the other extreme and said the human beings have complete free will independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here he says that what is intended here is the qadr by the words bab af'alillah. So the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in the middle in this subject between the qadariyya and the jabriyya. The qadariyya are those who claim that the human being يَخْلُقُ فِعْلَهُ إِسْتِقْلَالًا, that the human being creates his own actions independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah is not the creator of the human being and his actions. And that the human being is independent of Allah's will. They do whatever they will. Yani total, yani free will. That's the qadariyya. Claiming that the human being creates his own actions, that he's independent of Allah's will. And the jabariyya on the other side, they are those who claim that the abd is majboor ala fi'lihi, la iradata lahu wa la ikhtiyara. That the human being what? Is compelled, is forced to do whatever he does. He doesn't have any choice in the matter. He doesn't have any will or any choice. And he's just compelled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the two extremes in the issue of qadr. That some people said the human being has absolute free will, does whatever he wants to do, independent of Allah's will, and that he's the creator of his own actions. That Allah is not the creator of his actions. The other people said the human being has no free will and no choice in the matter. Whatever he does is what he's forced to do, compelled to do by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the second principle. The third principle, yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says the third principle is fi bab wa'idillah, yani the threat of Allah's punishment. بين المرجئة وبين الوعيدية من القدرية وغيرهم. Yani that they are in the middle course in reference to the wa'id of Allah, Allah's threat. When He threatens the disobedient that He will punish them for their disobedience. The two extremes are the murji'ah and the wa'idiyah. The wa'idiyah from the qadariyah. Yani the wa'idiyah is a description of a people who's from the qadariyah. Yani qadariyah because of how they believe in the qadr, and wa'idiyah because they believe in the threat of Allah must be executed. Any people, Allah cannot pardon or forgive. If a person commits a major sin, he didn't repent from it, he must be in the hellfire, eternally. Now,
I don't see where it says anything about the father of Allah. It says, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are also upon the middle course as it relates to the actions of Allah between those who follow the verses which mention the threats in the Qadariyya.
Okay.
So I don't see where it says... Where
it explains
the people.
This is the third principle. The third principle. The qadr of Allah is in the second principle that talks about af'alillah. That's in reference to the qadr. This is the third principle. This is another point altogether. The wa'id of Allah. Yani there are two people who went to extremes in the threat of Allah. Some people said, if Allah threatened with punishment, He must punish people. They must be in the hellfire. The other people said, even if Allah threatened, there's no punishment. People will not be punished. That's two extremes. The middle course is that if Allah threatens, yani He may punish or He may forgive. He may punish, He may forgive. In any case, the third point here is this is the third principle, the wa'id of Allah. It is the third principle and the fourth principle. Both of them are connected to the one who commits major sins and doesn't repent from it. Both of them are connected to that, yani. Must they be punished in the hell, or can Allah forgive them? And are they considered to be out of iman? Yani they became kafirs, or they are not mu'min, because they committed major sins, and they didn't repent. Both of these principles, the third and the fourth, are connected to this particular matter. Okay, so I'm going to read the third principle again. The subject is wa'idullah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said in the beginning, before we came to the explanation, that there are people who went to two extremes in reference to the wa'id of Allah. What is the wa'id of Allah? Yani the threat of Allah's punishment. Yani the wa'ad and the wa'id. The wa'ad is Allah's promise of reward, of mercy, of forgiveness. And the wa'id is Allah's threat of punishment for people who disobey Him. So these people went to the extreme in terms of the promise of Allah and the threat of Allah. They went to one extreme is the murji'ah. And the people who said actions are not part of iman. We're going to read the Shaykh's explanation. But the murji'ah are the people who said actions are not part of iman. Therefore, people are not going to be punished for the sins that they committed. It's not a part of iman. It has nothing to do with iman. The other people are the Wa'idiyya from the Qadariyya. They are from the people who are known as Qadariyya because of how they believe in the Qadr. They believe that people have free will. They are not subject to Allah's will. But they are the same people. This is another aspect of their deviation, that they believed that the threat of Allah must be executed. If Allah threatens somebody with punishment, they committed a major sin, they didn't repent from it, they must be punished in the hell eternally. The Wa'idiyya. From the Qadariyya wa ghayrihim. Qadariyya here, what he means by the Wa'idiyya from the Qadariyya, he means the Mu'tazila. And what he means by ghayrihim, the Khawarij. And these are the two people that come under the title of Wa'idiyya. The Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. Both of them say that if Allah threatens people with punishment, they have to be punished in the hell. If they didn't repent, they have to be punished in the hell forever. Never to get out of the hellfire. The details of it, inshallah, we'll look at. This is the third point, the wa'id of Allah. So, the shaykh, he says, likewise, they are in the middle, the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, are in the middle concerning the sifat of Allah between the wa'idiyya, those who say that the wa'id of Allah is nafidh. It must be executed. It must be executed. If Allah threatens a person for committing a major sin and they didn't repent from it, they must be punished. They must be punished. That's one extreme. The other extreme is the murji'ah. Alladhina yurji'una al-a'mal. Yani those who delay or postpone the deeds, meaning they did not include actions of the human being as a part of iman. They said that iman is just what's in the heart. And some of them said it's what's in the heart and what's on the tongue. Does not include actions. يَرَوْنَ الْعَبْدِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ لَهُ قَوْلُ وَالْإِعْتِقَادِ. They said that the human being only has speech that he's accountable for, and i'tiqad, conviction in the heart. And as long as he believes in the heart, that's iman. Some of them said, as long as he believes and says on his tongue, iman. That's sufficient, irregardless of his actions. أَمَّا عَمَلُهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. But as far as actions, yani the murji'ah said, actions are not a part of iman. Therefore, a human being is not going to be punished. And as far as the wa'id of Allah, it's not applicable to them. They said the wa'id of Allah is in reference to the disbelievers. As far as the believers, as long as you have iman, khalas, no matter what deeds you do, you're not going to be punished. You don't deserve to be punished at all. The wa'idiyya, yani, meaning the mu'tazila and the khawarij, yumduna wa'id Allah. Yani, they said the wa'id, the threat of Allah must be carried out. It must be executed. And they are the mu'tazila. Yani, he's saying here, the wa'idiyya are the mu'tazila. Those who say that, Sahib al-kabira mukhallad finnar. That the person who commits the major sin, and they mean he commits the major sin and doesn't repent from it. The person who commits the major sin, Sahib al-kabira mukhallad finnar, is going to be eternally in the hellfire. Okay, he said this is what the Mu'tazila said. And rather, this is also what the Khawarij said, as we will see. But they differ on the point of whether or not the person is a mu'min or not, or is a kafir. He said, that is, the person must remain in the fire eternally, إِذَا مَاتَ عَلَى الْمَعَاسِي. And if he died upon this, meaning without repenting. وَالْمُرْجِيَ يَقُولُونَ لَا يَضُرُّ مَا الْإِيمَانِ شَيْءٌ. The murji'ah say, yani if a person has iman, then nothing harms him, as long as he has iman. Nothing harms him, meaning his actions don't count. It doesn't matter, no matter what kind of sins they commit. لأنهم يرون أن العمل ليس من الإيمان. Because they consider that deeds, actions, are not a part of iman. فيرون قوله وتصديقه كافي or كافٍ. So their view is that his speech, as long as he testifies on the tongue to iman, and تصديقه, and he confirms it in the heart, yani he testifies, the heart bears witness to it, then this is sufficient for him. His speech, yani saying لا إله إلا الله, and his تصديق in the heart is sufficient. Actions don't really matter. As far as the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah yakununa, the moderate course, the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah say, iman is speech and action and i'tiqad. Yani it's speech, it's action, and it's also conviction in the heart. Tadurruhu al-ma'asi. Yani, sins harm the believer, or harm his iman. Walakin la tujibu khuludahu finnah. But they differed from the people who went to the extreme of the threat, that the person who commits a major sin and doesn't repent will be in the hellfire eternally. They said that yes, committing sins harm the person, harms the iman, but it doesn't necessitate them remaining eternally in the hellfire, as was said by the Mu'tazila. that they will remain in the hellfire eternally. وَلَا يَكْفُرْ Nor does he become a kafir. كَمَا تَقُولُهُ الْخَوَارِجْ Nor does he become a kafir. Like the Khawarij said. Meaning the person commits a major sin, doesn't repent from it, he goes out of iman. The Mu'tazila said, he goes out of iman. The Khawarij said, he goes out of iman. Where did they differ? The Khawarij said he became a kafir. The Mu'tazila said, he's between iman and kufr. Yani, manzila bayna manzilatayn. And he's in a station, we're not going to say he's a kafir, but he's no longer a mu'min. The Mu'tazila and the Khawarij both agree he's not a mu'min. But the Khawarij said he's a kafir. The Mu'tazila said he's in between somewhere. But both of them agree that he's going to be in the hellfire in the next life eternally. So, they said that what? The Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah agree that iman includes speech and action and conviction in the heart. And that sins harm the person and harm the iman. However, it doesn't necessitate that that person is going to remain in the fire, as the Mu'tazila said, nor that he becomes a kafir, as the Khawarij said. وَلَكِنْ الْمَعَاسِ تَدُرُّهُ وَتُضَعِفُ إِمَانَهُ وَبِزَوَالِهَا Ha is referring back to al-ma'asi. وَبِزَوَالِهَا وَالتَّوْبَ مِنْهَا يَقْمُنُ إِمَانُهُ The reason why I'm emphasizing this, بِزَوَالِهَا, because this word was translated in a way that twisted the meaning completely. And in the translation it says, on page 134, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah said that what? He's not, he doesn't become a kafir and he doesn't remain in the hellfire forever. However, the sins harm him. And the sins weaken his iman. And then they said, and it removes faith. And that's wrong. It says, it harms him and it weakens his iman. And with the cessation of sinning, بِزِوَالِهَا بِزِوَالَ الْمَعَاسِ وَالتَّوْبَ and repentance مِنْهَا يَكْمُنُ إِمَانُهُ But if he stops the sinning and repents from it, then his iman becomes complete and perfect. So what's the problem here? The problem is saying that the sins harm him, and it also weakens his iman, and it removes iman. And that's not what he's saying. He said with the cessation of sinning and repentance, it completes iman. Okay, it harms him and it weakens his iman. And then he said, and then the Shaykh says, but if a person stops sinning and repents, then his iman becomes complete and perfect. That's the end of the third principle, the threat of Allah. So the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah say sins harm a person, but it doesn't require them to be in hellfire forever, nor does it make them become a kafir. The other people went to the extreme, saying sins don't harm at all. The Murji'a and the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij said that sins would necessitate a person being in the hellfire forever. The Khawarij said he became a kafir. The Mu'tazila said he's between two stations. Time is upon us. Allahu musta'an. Yani, that's the summary of I just summarized what Sheikh Al-Usaymi said for the sake of time. The fourth principle. Here the Sheikh goes on to say, وَهَكَذَا هُمْ وَسَطٌ بَيْنَ الْوَعِيدِيَّ مِنَ الْمُعْتَزِلَ أَيْدًا وَالْخَوَارِجِ وَبَيْنَ الْمُرْجِيَةِ So, he's saying that similarly, the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah between the Wa'idiyah, the people yani who have been described as the necessity of Allah's threat being executed from the Mu'tazila. We said that the Wa'idiyah are the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. So here on this next issue, the issue of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, the fourth principle he says, Bab al-Iman wa-Deen. Bab al-Iman wa-Deen. Baina al-Haruriyya wal-Mu'tazila wa baina al-Murji'a wal-Jahmiyyah. So the two extremes are between the Haruriyya and the Mu'tazila. Haruriyya is the Khawarij. That's another name for the Khawarij. So he means between the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila and between the Murji'a and the Jahmiyyah. And the Murji'a are the Jahmiyyah. The Jahmiyyah from amongst their deviations is Irja. That they believe that sins, the actions are not a part of Iman. So that's one people. Shaykh says, so they are also between the Wa'idiyya, min al-Mu'tazila, the Mu'tazila he mentioned specifically, and also the Khawarij. Yani those who said the threat of Allah must be executed. They're between them and between the Murji'a who said that actions are not a part of Iman. But here he's talking about something else. Here he's talking about the people who commit major sins and didn't repent. Are they to be referred to with the name of Iman or Kufr? Are they to be referred to with the name of Islam or Fisq? Any of the names that they are referred to in the Sharia. The people who commit major sins and do not repent from them. Are they a mu'min or they a kafir? Are they a Muslim or a fasiq? The names that they are called. Yani the wa'id point is about the ahkam. What is the judgment concerning them being in this world and the next life? This is about what they are called. Can we call this person a kafir? Or do we call him a mu'min? Or do we call him a fasiq or a Muslim? What is the names in the Sharia that are appropriate or proper to be referring to the person who commits major sins and didn't repent from it? He said they are in between the wa'idiyya, the Mu'tazila, and the Khawarij, and between the Murjiya, the people who said actions are not a part of Iman. So the Khawarij are saying Iman is speech and action and belief, conviction in the heart. And the Khawarij are saying Iman includes speech and action and belief in the heart. The Murjiya said not actions, right? The Khawarij said it includes all of that. But they said, لَكِنْ لَا يَزِيدُ وَلَا يَنْقُسُ. And this is a very important point here. But they said that Iman does not increase, nor does it decrease. And the whole point, which the Sheikh doesn't explain in detail here, the point is that by them saying Iman doesn't increase or decrease, they mean that Iman is just one stable unit. It doesn't increase or decrease. Meaning, either you have Iman, or you don't have Iman. So once you commit a major sin and you didn't repent, so you go out of Iman. Because there's no decrease in Iman by sins. No, you no longer a mu'min. You go out of Iman. And this is the point here in this principle, that they are saying then, when you commit the major sin and you didn't repent, you become a kafir. The Khawarij said you became a kafir. And the Mu'tazila said, you are no longer a mu'min. We're not going to say you're a kafir, but you're in between kufr and Iman. Okay, so what do we call these people? He's saying that the Khawarij are saying that Iman is speech and action and conviction in the heart, but they are saying that Iman does not increase, nor does it decrease. So if a person commits a major sin and doesn't repent, he goes out of Iman. وَهَكَذَا الْوَعِدِيَّ هُمْ مِنَ الْمُعْتَزِلَ. So the wa'idiyya, he's saying, who are they? The Mu'tazila. They also similarly said that Iman is speech and action and conviction in the heart. لَكِنْ لَا يَزِيدْ وَلَا يَنْقُسْ. Same thing. They said it doesn't increase and doesn't decrease. فَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى الْمَعَاسِ صَارَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ خَالِدًا مُخَلِّدًا فِيهَا. Yani, so the wa'idiyya, the Mu'tazila said, Iman is speech, action, and conviction in the heart, but it doesn't increase or decrease. Therefore, مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى الْمَعَاسِ. Yani, a person who dies upon major sins that he didn't repent from. صَارَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. He became from the people of the fire. خَالِدًا مُخَلِّدًا فِيهَا. Yani, will be there forever in the hellfire. That's the Mu'tazila. وَتَزِيدُ لَلْخَوَارِجِ أَنَّهُ يَكْفُرْ بِذَلِكَ مَا كَوْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. And the Khawarij went further than the Mu'tazila. Not only is he going to be in the hellfire forever, we agree with that. But the Khawarij is saying more than that, he becomes a disbeliever, along with him being in the hellfire eternally. So they both agree that this person goes out of Iman. Because what? Iman doesn't increase or decrease. You either have Iman totally, or you don't have Iman. If you commit a major sin and you didn't repent, means you go out of Iman. You are no longer a mu'min. The Khawarij and Mu'tazila both agree. The person who commits the major sin goes out of Iman. They differ. Do we call him a kafir, or we just say he's in between kufr and Iman? But they agreed that he will be in the hellfire eternally. Naam. Then he says, أهل السنة والجماعة, the middle course, أهل السنة والجماعة, they are in the wasat, في ذلك يكونون المعاسي تنقص إيمانه وتضعفه ولكن لا يكفر بها إلا إذا استحلها ولا يخلد في النار خلافا للخوارج وخلافا للمعتزلة كبحهم الله. يعني as far as أهل السنة والجماعة, they are in the middle course between these two extremes. Between these two extremes. Yani the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij saying the person goes out of Iman completely. And the Murji'a saying, even though he didn't mention it here, he says that they say that he is a mu'min kamil al Iman. He's a believer. The Murji'a say he's a believer, committing major sins, not repenting, dying upon it. He's a believer with complete and perfect Iman. Why? Because actions are not part of Iman, according to the Murji'a. The Ahl Sunnah are in the middle of that, and they say that sins cause a decrease in his Iman. and they weaken his iman. Yes, sins affect a person's iman. It is actions are part of iman. And iman increases and decreases. So sins cause a person's iman to decrease, and it weakens a person's iman. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَكْفُرْ بِهَا إِلَّا إِذَا إِسْتَحَلَّهَا. But he doesn't become a kafir by committing sins unless he declares sinful behavior is lawful, is halal. And it's permissible to commit zina. It's permissible to drink alcohol. Yani the person who drinks alcohol doesn't become a kafir by drinking alcohol. But if he says, even though he doesn't drink it, if he says drinking alcohol is lawful, yani in other words, he denied, he rejected Allah's ruling concerning it, he became a kafir because he declared it to be lawful. And then the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah also do not declare that a person who commits sins, major sins, and doesn't repent from them, they don't say that he will be in the hellfire eternally like the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. And he says, قَبَّحْهُمْ Allah. Some of the scholars said that the meaning of this supplication is a dua against them, yani بِالْعِبَعَاد مِنْ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. Yani this is like the shaykh is making a supplication that they be far removed from every kind of good. Although literally it may mean, yani may Allah make them ugly. Yani kabbahahum Allah. The fifth principle and the final principle, and I know time is very, very upon us at this moment. The fifth principle and the final principle is in reference to, yani what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah clearly states here, yani fi ashab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bayna al-rawafid wa bayna al-khawarij. Yani the two extremes are the Rafida and the Khawarij. They are the two extremes. Yani the Rafida going to the extreme in claiming love and exaltation of Ali radiallahu anhu and the household of the Prophet, meaning Ali and Fatima and their children, Hassan and Hussein, who is descended from them. Going to the extreme in exaggeration. And the other side are the Khawarij who fought against the companions of the Prophet and declared many of them to be kuffar. These are the two extremes. And the Ahl Sunnah in the middle, in recognizing the rights of the companions and their virtue and their excellence and their station that Allah has given to them, yani in the Quran and in the Sunnah. So the Shaykh, and this is the final principle, we're going to close with this. And there's a lot left in a little bit of time. And it's already time for the adhan, la bas. Ahl Sunnah in the middle between, in this concerning this the subject of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, between the Rafida, Shia, and between the Khawarij. The Rafida ghalaw, wal Khawarij jafaw. Yani the Rafida went to the extreme, and this is in reference to Ali and his family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They went to the extreme in praising and glorifying and honoring and raising their station. And the Khawarij were negligent, yani not giving the yani companions their rights, their due rights and respect and station and status and virtue that they are due. وَقَاتَلُوا الصَّحَابَ وَكَفَّرُوا أَكْثَرَهُمْ. Yani the Khawarij went to the extreme of neglecting the rights of the companions. وَقَاتَلُوا الصَّحَابَ, and they fought against them. In the translation it says they murdered them. And there's a difference between قَتَلَهُمْ and قَاتَلَهُمْ, right? So it doesn't mean they murdered them, but they did fight them. It means they fought the companions and they declared most of them to be disbelievers. The Rafida went to the extreme in praising and glorification and exaltation of Ahlul Bayt. And the Ahlul Bayt, they mean by Ahlul Bayt, Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu anha and Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma and their descendants. They went to the extreme in exaggeration in raising their station beyond what any Allah has given to them. As far as Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, they make dua, yataraddawna ala jami' al-sahaba. They make dua that Allah be pleased with all of the companions, not some to the exclusion of others. وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِعَدَالَتِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. And they believe, the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah believe in the integrity and the uprightness of all of the sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And that all of them are the best of the creation of Allah after the prophets, alayhimu salam. That they are the best of creation after the prophets. And here, right here, there's a whole paragraph that is deleted from the English translation. I'm going to read that paragraph because it came twice, this statement. They are the best of Allah's creation after the prophets. And later on, a few lines down further, it says, they are the best. They are afdal khalq, ba'da al-rusul al-anbiya, and the translator skipped from that first statement that they are the best of creation after the prophets and went to the next statement that they are the best of creation after the prophets and skipped what was in between it. So what's in between that's not in the English? He said that they are the best of Allah's creation after the prophets. This is on page 135, around the third paragraph. And then he said, and this is not in the translation, يَتَبَرَّعُونَ مِنْ تَرِيقَةِ الْغَوَافِدِ. And they declare themselves to be innocent and free from the path of the Rafida Shia. Those who went to the extreme concerning Ali radiallahu anhu and the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet radiallahu anhu majma'in. So Ahlul Sunnah don't go to the extreme in exaggerating their station, raising it up, nor do they fall short in recognizing their rights. So concerning the Sahaba, the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah, يَتَرَدَّوْنَ عَنْهُمْ يعني asks Allah to be pleased with them. Say رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ all of them. And they believe, Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah believe that they are أَفْضَلَ الْخَلْقِ بَعْدَ الرُّسُولِ وَالْأَنْبِيَاءِ. And this is where the translation came back again, believing that they are the best of the creation after the messengers and prophets عليهم السلام. And then the translation continues here with this, from this point, وَأَنَّهُمْ خِيرَةُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. And they are the companions are the best of this ummah. However, the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah don't go to the extreme concerning them as the Rafida went to the extreme concerning Ali and the family of the Prophet ﷺ, supplicating to them along with Allah. And he making dua to them along with Allah. And claiming that they are ma'asumun, that they are infallible, that they can't make any mistakes. So the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah don't do this nor that. Go to one extreme or the other. And the Rafida, he said, غَلَوْ وَزَلُّوا وَضَلُّوا. Yani they went to the exaggeration, extreme in exaggeration with Ali and the family of the Prophet, and so they slipped and erred and went astray. And the Khawarij also were negligent of the rights, of recognizing the rights of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and they didn't affirm, they didn't acknowledge their adala, their uprightness and their integrity. So Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah confirm the uprightness and the integrity of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and their virtue, and that they are the best of creation after the Prophets, alayhi wasalam. And in the translation it says, after the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Not after the Prophet, after the Prophets, the Anbiya, all of them, alayhi wasalam. However, they oppose the Rafia in their extremism, in their exaggeration. And they don't exaggerate concerning Ali, radiallahu anhu, nor the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, radiallahu anjma'in. Rather, they ask Allah to be pleased with them, and they recognize their virtue, and they recognize that they are from the people of goodness. And here again is another translation problem, page 136. It says, and they acknowledge that they were upon righteousness and upright upon the truth. As though it's a continuation of the previous sentence, rather it says, مَنْ اسْتَقَامَ مِنْهُمْ عَلَى الْحَقِّ فَهُوَ يُرُجَى لَهُ الْخَيْرِ. Yani, they recognize that the Ali and the family of the Prophet ﷺ, that they are the people of goodness, and whoever is upright from amongst them upon the truth, then it is hoped, that good is expected for them. And Ali radiallahu anhu is like the rest of the companions, he is the fourth of the four caliphs. And he has some virtue, excellence. And he is one of the 10 people who it has been borne witness that they are the people of paradise. However, we shouldn't exaggerate concerning him, nor should we supplicate. He shouldn't be supplicated to along with Allah, and it shouldn't be said that he is ma'asum, that he is infallible. He and the 12 imams, as they claim, they can't make any mistake, they can't do anything wrong. And it is not said that he is sahib al-risala, that he was the one who was entitled to the revelation instead of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They claim that. And that Jibril alayhi salam, he violated the trust. In other words, instead of giving the revelation to Ali, he gave it to the Prophet ﷺ. This is the Shiites. All of this is batil, false. لَكِنَّهُ مِنْ أَفْضَلِ الصَّحَابَةِ. But all that's false, but nonetheless we recognize that he is from the best of the companions, and he is أفضل, the most excellent of them, and the best of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, رضي الله أجمعين. And finally the Shaykh says, أهل السنة والجماعة, recognize that it is not permissible to exaggerate and go to the extreme concerning Ali or the family of the Prophet, to go extreme in reference to him or Fatima, nor al-Hasan, nor al-Husayn. And Hasan is left out in the translation, we should say, Ali, nor Fatima, nor Hassan, nor Hussein, radiallahu anhum, ajma'in, wala fi ghayrihim, nor to any other of the companions of the Prophet. Rather, whoever from amongst them is upright upon the truth from the Ahlul Bayt, falahu sifat al-mu'mineen, then he is described with the descriptions of the believers. He is supplicated for. And we supplicate asking Allah to be pleased with him. Like, but we don't go to exaggerating extremes. We recognize his virtue, their virtue, and that they are from the best of the Muslims. Yani the people who are upright upon the truth from the Ahl Bayt, from the family of the Prophet, that if they are upright upon the truth, then they are from the best of the Muslims. And they have a well-known station amongst the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But we don't go to the extreme concerning any one of the companions, anyone at all. Nor are we neglectful of recognizing their station and their status and their virtues for any one of them. Rather, we recognize their rights and we recognize their virtue and the station, the high status that Allah has given to them. And we protect and guard and preserve, yani the wasiyah of the Messenger of Allah, the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning them. And perhaps he's referring to the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tasubbu ashabi, la tasubbu ashabi." Don't, yani curse. Don't speak ill of my companions. And to the end of the hadith, where he said that even one of you, if he were to give a mountain of gold equal to the mountain of Uhud, it wouldn't be equal to one handful of charity given by one of his companions, or even a half of a handful of them. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, "Waffaqallahu al-jami'." May Allah grant success to all, yani of the Muslims, the believers, the people of Sunnah. It's almost time for the Iqamah. We're going to stop with this. I would recommend some books. Inshallah, I'll send an email with some books that people can go back to look at these principles in some more detail in Arabic, as well as some books that are translated into English. There are some books where some of this is mentioned. From the best of them is the explanation of Aqeedah al-Wasatiyah by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. His translation of the explanation of Wasatiyah in two volumes, about 600 pages, is available in English. And it's available in Arabic. And if anybody wants the PDF for the English or the Arabic, inshallah, we can send it to you. And I would suggest that we go back and look at that to get some further benefit than, you know, what we were able to squeeze in a little bit of time that we had it tonight. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, reward, and record our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, yani to be firm upon a sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His mercy upon those who have passed away from amongst us, to fill their graves with light and to make them spacious, and to admit them into paradise and to save them from the hellfire. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescue, save, protect, and preserve all of the Muslims who are being oppressed in Palestine, in India, in Yemen, in Sudan, in China, in Burma, or wherever they are, any place in the earth. Indeed, Allah is sufficient for those who believe.